First Kings, chapter 3. Let me tell you a story. Tonight, Ben and I were outside, and I told Ben that he had to go ahead and get his coat on, so he got in and came outside, and came outside again. And Ben was running around, and his coat was half off of him, and it was cold, and he was... So I asked Ben to button his coat or whatever. And so Ben says, "I don't know how to do that, Ollie." And so Ben came running over and I snapped up his coat. Now, that is the lesson of spirit. The lesson of spirit is that you never have to know how to do that, Holy. You never have to know how to do that, Father. And that position, that walking in that position, is the walk of emptiness. It's the walk of being poor in the spirit. There was no, "Oh God, I'm 4 years old, and I should know how to do this. Oh, what's my wife going to think about me if I don't know how to do this?"
What did my mother do?
What did my background do?
Yeah.
My parents are abusing me and they're saying worship. I've done the best they could, and I don't know why.
What did I go wrong and I got into performance?
This isn't fair.
I put my coat on.
I should know how to do this.
And he didn't say. And he knew that he didn't know how to do it, so he didn't frustrate himself by trying to do something he knew
about
that he
couldn't. I know how to do it, I just...
Yeah, and the other thing is that we can thank God that he didn't take after his parents.
He also didn't say, "Here's 50 cents, do it for me."
He also did say, "I think I'm going to go hide in the house or I'd have to deal with the situation.
I think I'll go eat something."
I'm going to
go eat something.
I don't want to be in this situation at all, so I'm just going to stay in the house.
Or like go inside and like never come back. You know, like, "I'm going to get my coat, yeah."
I can play this part, forget it forever and ever. But it's clear to me now. I mean, when you're fucked up, you're fucked up. And I'm fucked up. And, you know, you're so into the flesh and you're doing the straight line business. And then you don't stop and fix the car on the straight line. You just jump off that highway.
Amen. Because that little dot is the New Jerusalem.
Well, it's not a highway. You jump off there and then you run into the house.
All right. Verse 3. "And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places." Why did he do that?
He's a bonehead.
Do you know that? Do you understand? Do you remember?
Used to be okay.
No. Do you understand that the high places were okay until the temple was dedicated? Remember, you couldn't have existed without the high places until the temple is dedicated.
What, because that's where people did their offerings?
No, that's where people did their high places.
No, didn't he? That means before you would have been able to cross the street.
And the king went to Gibeon, which was a high place, to sacrifice there. For that was the great high place. Don't you say that? 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer on that altar. Now we're talking major sacrifice. 1,000 oxen. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night and said, "Ask what I shall give thee." Now, he did this in spite of the fact that he was offering all of this. He was playing all these games in high places. And Solomon said, "Thou hast showed unto thy servant David my father great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or to come in. I mean, you hear this, can you understand this humility? I don't know how to do anything.
I don't know shit, you know.
This is Solomon. Wisest man that has ever lived. Only one mystery that Solomon didn't understand. Of all the mysteries of the world. Anybody remember what it was? Right. Not you. You guys are stealth. The ashes of the red heifer. They couldn't understand the ashes of the red heifer until the body of Christians was formed. Now watch what happens. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people which thou hast chosen, a great people thou cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this day so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Now,
this is in a dream. This is in a dream.
Yeah. Now, what does it mean? Is he asking for good and bad?
Wisdom. It's all the Spirit.
In Hebrews 5, it says, at a time when you ought to be teachers, you need someone again to teach you the first principles of the doctrine of Christ. And, you know, you should have by now been able to discern good from evil. Is that what it's talking about? Good from evil according to whose definition? It's talking discerning soul from spirit. Ability to discern the difference between soul and spirit. Understand that? All right, now watch. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither has asked riches for thyself, nor has asked the life of thine enemies, but has asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Now the word there, to discern, is to hear. Thou hast asked for understanding to discern or to hear judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise unto thee. And I have also given unto thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings of the world like unto thee all thy days. Let's go to Matthew 6. I spent a lot of time sitting by the ocean. Every afternoon I had two or three hours when I didn't have anything to do because of the trash schedules and all that. And there's this great thing that happens. The tide is always, you know, well, it's all crashes and comes back. Never stops. Except there's this thing that happens, even when the waves are high, that the waves come crashing in and it's just a constant roar, 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 roar. But every once in a while, because of the wave movements, it comes so that there's a period of time when there's not a wave crashing. And it goes from this great roar to total silence that quick. And that silence is what I am saying to you that you must have in order to ask for the same wisdom that Solomon asked for. There's got to start being silence in the temple. I started talking about this before I left for California, but it's become apparent when I was out there for many reasons. That much, that, that silence is what you must be, what we must be about. Okay, Matthew 6, verse 31. Wherefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now, how do you seek first the kingdom of God? How do you do that? In order to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, it has to answer, you have to answer no to every question. No, because your mind is going to say, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now, you're not going to, nobody's ever going to ask for the kingdom of God. I mean, you don't pray that way. You understand? No, I mean, you ask for something that you ask for something, right? And you say, don't you understand? You've spent a lifetime asking the question, is this it? You spend an entire lifetime asking the question, is this it? And it's only when you can answer no to every question that you can begin to seek the kingdom of God.
That no is that silence that you're talking about.
Right. And when you when there's no more thing to ask about, is this it? Is this it? Is this it? Is this it? Then the fruit of that asking or answering no to every question is a silence.
And it's even here, being in this body and saying, what is it?
That's in there.
I was going to say something about a comic strip that I cut out. That's Charles Schulz, showed Charlie Brown in his bed, and he's laying there and he's like saying, is this all there is? Is this all there is to my life? Or some question like that. And then there's just like this bubble up above him. So what kind of question is that?
Well, to seek first, the sense of seeking first is to do nothing. Is to cause there to be... I wished I'd have recorded this roar of the waves coming in, and then it went from this incredible roar, because the waves are really high.
I have an ocean tape.
To boom, complete silence. But I bet it doesn't have the silence.
It just has birds.
You saw that in Hawaii.
Kevin Hobbs standing in the middle of the night looking up at the stars. He says, I am significant. And then there's the middle one's just standing there looking up. The last one, a little wee little voice says, Scream the dust speck.
Whoever has it on their computer.
Scream the dust speck.
Yeah.
Evermore.
This real little tiny voice.
Now, that's why you can't. The only way to get this silence is by going backward from everything that you've ever learned. Because everything I've ever learned is being not to be silent. Your mind's always got to be chasing it. Your mind's got to be asking the questions. Your mind's got to be doing this. Your mind's got to be doing that. But I'm certain, with everything in me, that the only way that you can seek the kingdom of God is with silence.
Which angel is it that when they break a certain seal, there's total silence?
Silence for the space of a half hour.
And then after that, what happens?
Yeah.
Isn't that the Soviet Union?
This is, and when he had opened the seventh seal, when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour.
So that when there is silence, it won't be weird because there's already silence within you.
Yeah, there's already silence.
There's an agreement.
Right, and the silence in you will be in agreement with the silence, and then boom. All right. Become nothing before God. This is then the beginning. It's really hard to be silent. Because our minds have so many options. That's why, you remember, the fall of man didn't happen until he named the names. And so man differs from beasts in that he can speak. But in relationship to God, that's his ruin. So that's why can you taste the true freedom of what it would be like to not to believe ever again that the state of being you're in is strange, that you're silent in every state of being that you could possibly find yourself? Imagine the freedom of that position.
It's so wild, that's just physics. That's the state of rest. That's equilibrium. That's stasis. That's center. That's
peace.
The kingdom of God. That's peace. That's
bliss.
Everything says the same thing.
It's bliss.
There's no need to do anything.
You know, as a person becomes more and more committed or involved in prayer. When you first start, there's all kinds of words. Some even speak in King James English when I first start. Well, the thing that happens, the longer and longer and longer that you pray, is the less and less words there are. And finally, if there are no words, there's total silence. And that's the most intense prayer there is. And then the thing that happens, it's a deeper level than that. And it's a different level than even silence. And it's the level of hearing. And that's what that first thing of we talked about with the prayer of Solomon was that he would hear judgment, not diakrino, not judgment down, but krino, righteous judgment. And in that silence is the voice of God. Not, well, God told me to write you this letter today. Okay, so prayer is not to hear yourself speak. Does that maybe sound encouraging?
Yes.
So if a husband and wife pray together, there may be something, if there's something there, you say it.
So if the one that doesn't use a lot of words, is that the one that's more righteous? Let's define this.
Throw in the poll, see if you can pull it out.
That's the one that just lost everything.
You're doing real good.
All her brownie points.
All right. Again, this thing about seek ye first. You got to hear this. It says no to everything else. And that saying no to everything else is really the true freedom. Because, again, we're back to this point about do you understand that once Solomon sought first the kingdom of God, that all riches, all glory, all honor was poured into him because he created that vacuum.
Yeah.
But seeking first the kingdom of God and saying no to everything else says this. It says that it says I don't need to worry about something being better or different tomorrow. That's not even a concern of mine. It says that all human activity is religious. All human activity has a spiritual component. It doesn't matter whether I think it's my job or being busy, or being some sense of self or some image. It's all, you all have to come, you have to come to the point of silence in all of it. So that there's no differentiation between. And he, Solomon then was, you know, he was probably the world's greatest politician. He was the world, you know, he was the wealthiest man that ever lived. He was, you know, on and on and on, all those things. But he was first silent. He had first said no to everything. Now, it's vital that we understand this so that you can take this mystery with you 24 hours a day. So it's no to everything else. Do you understand me? It's no to everything else about any job, any... Well, Ollie, you don't understand. I've got a career. Or you don't understand. I've got a deadline. Or you don't trust me, I understand. But it's saying no to every other pressure, to every other image, to every other situation, to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all the needful things will pour into you. It's saying no to the temptation that you have in your mind that every 4.5 weeks you're convinced that you should change jobs. But can you see that what I'm talking about covers every possible situation of your life? That you don't have to believe the lie of your mind that says it should be different. It should be different. It should be better than this. It should be different than this. In everything that you can be involved in. Your mind says, you know, it's no, and you return to that focal point that... There's a great mathematical term for it, but I forgot. But it's the point of total silence, of emptying. Blessed are the poor, the empty in spirit. And it doesn't matter whether it's in marriage, or in Levite-dom, or in oil-dom, or kid-dom, or parent-dom, or newspaper-dom, or Levite-dom.
Geek-dom.
It's the same position, and it's always returning to that silence. That's the lesson of the sea. That's the lesson of the ocean. That's the lesson of everything in life. It's to get rid of the lie that if things were different, then you would have the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God is the desire of the nations. He's whatever you think you desire at every given point. And this what makes this life that we live so exciting, because it takes and brings this moment. It causes you never to leave this moment, no matter what it is you're doing in the universe. It's never a set of rules or a set of behavior patterns. It's always silence. It's never busy. It's never anxious. It's never upset. It's never responsible. It's its own self. It's I am. Remember, we are a peculiar people. Peculiar is the feminine verb form of the verb I am. We are the I am people, and that I am is the position of having said no to everything else. Not because there's nothing else out there you won't want or you won't like, or there's not because there's things that'll happen to you that you know that you don't like, or that in things that whatever the options are, but you say no to every other position because you know the wisdom of God. And you know the fear of God, because the fear of God says that to leave that position is the worst thing that could happen to me. And that's knowing the terror of God, I persuade men. Can you see how this just wipes out all definitions and all idolatry and all if you can ever return there. And you can only return there via the cross. Anyway, because everybody, this is real important.
You're saying that when I get caught up in something and I say, well, I should be doing this, it sticks to me and I say, no, and then that should just drop off.
Yeah, because the part of this is that you're always transparent. There's nothing can stick to you.
It's like seeing vanity. It's like, I mean, I can see as you see the vanity, it's like, and then you can't say the voice say, well, is this it? And you say, no.
Wow.
That's definitely not it. No, no, no.
But it has to be to every other question.
Right.
Well,
I don't think it's a force.
I want us to leave this I want to be convinced at least that all of you understand what I'm talking about.
I remember after I stopped smoking for a while, and I was talking to you, I was talking about starting to smoke again or smoking a pipe or something like that, and you said to me, you have to realize that for you, if you start smoking again, you will die. You can't go back. And it's like, this place is a place of either experiencing that in an infinite number of things or empathizing it in an infinite number, that whole sphere that surrounds you is saying no to each one of those points, either through experience or just through empathy. No, I won't rely on this. No, I'm not going to rely on that. No, that's not going to give me life. No, I'm right here. I'm not going anywhere.
But right here isn't even relying on the body. I mean, otherwise you'll make the body.
Well, no, the body is one of those points.
Yeah.
Always one of those points.
Right.
Every created thing is one of those points.
Amen.
Now, no.
But to say no to them doesn't mean that you're giving them any power. It means you're saying no. They don't have any. I mean, I can enjoy them. I can enjoy it, or I can not enjoy it. I can still always, wherever I am, I'm in the world, but I'm never of the world.
So you can use it.
You use it, but don't abuse it.
And so that sanctifies all things.
Everything. It sanctifies all things, or it sanctifies no thing. If everything isn't sanctified, nothing is sanctified. That's real important. If everything in the universe isn't sanctified, nothing is sanctified. That's a biggie. That'll drive your mind wild if you spend much time thinking about that one.
I'll shut it up, too.
Yeah.
Well, that's the same thing as saying God is all and in all.
Right.
Or is not.
Or is never. Is nowhere.
It's like this thing that drives you nuts. I mean, either it's all sanctified or none of it's sanctified. For you, when you get into that position, if the thought is, I love you, Tylene, that's fine. It's okay to say that. But if the thought is, you're a pain in the ass, Tylene, no, I can't, you know. It's like, it's all.
Yeah, it's all you've bought with a price. You're nothing. You're not your own. And all is sanctified. I don't feel like talking anymore. Anybody got anything?